ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 3 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द बर्थ ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्णा टेक्स्ट नंबर 34 एंड 35। वर्षा तात पहिम घर्म काल गुणाननु सहमानो श्वासरोध विनिर्धूत मनोमलौ। Will it text 35 also and then the translation? Shirna parna nilahara upashante na chetasa matta kaman abhip santo madara dhanam ihahitu. Translation: My dear father and mother, you endured rain, wind, strong sun, scorching heat, and severe cold, suffering all sorts of inconvenience according to different seasons. By practicing pranayam to control the air within the body through yoga, and by eating only air and dry leaves fallen from the trees, you cleansed from your minds all dirty things. In this way, desiring a benediction from me, you worshipped me with peaceful minds. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. Vasudev and Devaki did not obtain the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their son very easily. Nor does the Supreme Godhead accept merely anyone as his father and mother. Here we can see how Vasudev and Devaki obtained Krishna as their eternal son. In our own lives, we are meant to follow the principles indicated herewith for getting good children. Of course, it is not possible for everyone to get Krishna as a son, but at least one can get very good sons and daughters for the benefit of human society. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that if human beings do not follow the spiritual way of life, there will be an increase of Varna Sankara population. Excuse me. Population begotten like cats and dogs, and the entire world will become like hell. Not practicing Krishna consciousness, but simply encouraging artificial means to check the population will be futile. The population will increase, and it will consist of Varna Sankara, unwanted progeny. It is better to teach people how to beget children, not like hogs and dogs, but in controlled life. Human life is meant not for becoming a hog or dog, but for tapodivyam, transcendental austerity. Everyone should be taught to undergo austerity, tapasya. Although it may not be possible to undergo tapasya like that of Prishni and Sutapa, the Shastra has given an opportunity for a method of tapasya very easy to perform, the Sankirtan movement. One cannot expect to undergo tapasya to get Krishna as one's child. Yet, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Kirtana Deva Krishnasya, one can become so pure that one becomes free from all the contamination of this material world, Mukta Sangaha, and goes back home, back to Godhead, Param Vrajet. The Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, is teaching people not to adopt artificial means of happiness, but to take the real path of happiness as prescribed in the Shastra, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, and become perfect in every aspect of material existence. Hare Krishna. So, before I begin, I would like to seek the blessings of all the devotees, especially if there are any disciples of Srila Prabhupada present in the audience. Vancha kalpataru bhyascha kripa sindhu bhyavacha patitanam pavane bhyo vaishnave bhyo namo namah. So today we are reading from the third chapter of the 10th canto. which describes the appearance of Lord Krishna in the prison cell of Kansa to Vasudev and Devaki. In today's verse, Krishna is explaining how Vasudev and Devaki in their previous lives had performed great austerities to obtain a benediction from him. And the next few verses will describe that austerity in great detail. So it's very interesting that here is a child who has been born in captivity with the danger of imminent death present before the child and the child's parents. And just right after the birth or appearance of this child, not only does the child appear to be fearless, not only is the child attractive, but most uncommonly, the child seems to be telling his parents who they are. Now, this is not an ordinary child. There has never been in the world any child who ever knew who he or she was, what to speak of who the parents were. And I'm not sure, at least in my experience, I have not heard anything. Maybe you have, and you can add to this. Have you ever heard of a child being born, at least one of us? You know, when we were born, we told our parents, see, this is who I am. In the future, this is what I'm going to do. And this is who you were, not only now, but in your previous lives. So this is Krishna's extraordinary appearance. Seemingly an ordinary child, but right from his birth, extraordinary activities. The atmosphere in the prison cell is not very conducive for Vasudev and Devaki to express their emotions of love very clearly for Krishna. Despite that, we see that they do express it. And as soon as they express their love and their affection for the Supreme Lord, we find his reciprocation. Isn't it in the fourth chapter that Krishna tells Arjuna, when Arjuna inquires from Krishna, hey Krishna, you are my friend. How is it that you spoke to the sun god millions of years ago? And Krishna says, there are many, many births both you and I have taken. Tani aham veda sarvani. Natvam vetha paranta. But you do not remember any of those births. I remember every single one of them. So Krishna always remembers. This is a very inspiring fact for aspiring devotees. Sometimes we ourselves forget all the aspects of devotional service that we have performed, knowingly or unknowingly, this lifetime. Do we even remember 10 years back what were the quality or the activities that we had rendered in devotional service? No. That is the nature of Kal, Yoga Nashta Parantapa. Kal works so very insidiously. We don't even realize the influence of time or Kal. But we may forget, Krishna doesn't. What to speak of this lifetime of activities in devotional service? Previous lifetimes of activities of devotional service also Krishna doesn't forget. He is explaining to Vasudev and Devaki three previous lives that they had in which they had performed so much austerities to obtain a benediction from him. Now, Vasudev and Devaki did not remember all of this. The impressions were there, which allowed them to be favorably disposed toward the Supreme Lord. Utmostly favorable. But they had no idea what they had done previously. How the Supreme Lord would appear as their son. Very interesting. Once Srila Prabhupada, you know, there was some issues amongst devotees. And I'm vaguely remembering what he said, paraphrasing it. He said, You do not know who these devotees were in their previous lives. They might have been great demigods, great devotees. So we do not know. Right? No one knew that Dhruva was going to become a devotee. He became a great devotee. The Supreme Lord remembered that. Not just he became a great devotee, but also all of his devotional credits previously. And therefore, the reaction to being unfavorably disposed to a devotee was given to his stepmother, Suruchi. Because Krishna remembers. And for a devotee, this is very, very enthusing. We may forget. We may not notice. Maybe the community of devotees doesn't notice. Maybe it does not get reported in the daily news. But if it has been service that has been rendered in a favorable, anukulena Krishna anushilanam, that which pleases Krishna, then Krishna remembers. And what does it mean that Krishna remembers? In one of his lectures, Satchinandan Maharaj was making this point. In the early 90s, he was giving this wonderful lecture on surrender. He said, just as Yamaraj has so many departments running, which is noting all of our activities, whether pious or impious, everything is being noted there. Similarly, any activity which is rendered under the shade of the devotional tree is noted down by Krishna in a special notebook. Now what happens when Yamaraj notes down all of those activities? Immediately, you know, there is his account book which says, this is what has been accumulated and this is what is due. This is what the reactions are. Similarly, in Krishna's notebook, these are the activities that have been performed and this is what is due for the devotee. This is what the devotee gets. It is automatically, it is a system arranged by the Supreme Lord where automatically those credits are accrued. They are there. So sometimes in devotional service, we wonder, what did we do? How did it happen? Like the oft-quoted pastime of Srila Prabhupada, what did we ever do to come to become, you know, practice Krishna consciousness? Srila Prabhupada said, you had no qualifications. I made your qualifications. But to allow Srila Prabhupada to make the qualifications, at least one has to come and surrender to Srila Prabhupada. That was their qualification. They came to Srila Prabhupada and said, dear sir, what can we do for you? Is there any service? And then all the other necessary qualifications which allows things to be noted in Krishna's books were bestowed. So, Krishna not only remembers, but he reciprocates. And this is how he reciprocates here. He says, you had performed sufficient austerities for which, you know, I had to offer you a benediction. And your benediction was that you wanted a son like me, but there's no one like me, so therefore I came as your son. Similarly, there's nothing like Krishna's devotional service. No other activity in this world can compare to devotional service of Krishna. So if we become attached to the different limbs or aspects of devotional service, then there's nothing else that Krishna can give other than that. Because there's nothing compared to it. Yeah. Bhakti, mukti, siddhi, all these are simply like bubbles, you know, simply like a drop of water in the ocean of wonderful pleasure of devotional service. So when one sincerely renders devotional service, here Prabhupada says one may not get a son as Krishna, but then he says one becomes so pure that one becomes free from all contamination and goes back home, back to Godhead. That means one is qualified to accept, or one is qualified to practice pure bhakti or shuddha bhakti. Why? Because just as Krishna said, there is no one who is equal to me. There is no other activity, there is no other credits in this material world which is equal to pure devotional service. So if you can engage in those activities of pure devotional service, that is what one gets. Krishna has to bestow that upon us. Because there is nothing equivalent to it. So that's the promise here. That is what Krishna seems to be promising here in this verse. So in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the four Kumaras meet with King Prithu, and there's a nice discussion where there is the understanding of devotional principles. And in one verse, beautiful verse, an important point is being made. I'm sorry. Yadaratir brahmani naishthiki puman acharyavan jnana viraga ranghasa dahatya viryam vridayam jivakosham panchatmakam yonim evothitogni. In the purport of this verse, Srila Prabhupada makes a couple of interesting points related to the point of why Krishna never forgets. And how not just Krishna always remembers, rather, always remembers. He says, or this, in this verse, the four Kumaras are explaining. And the point, I'll begin with the point that Prabhupada makes. He says, Prabhupada says, in the conditioned state, the heart of the living entity has got two souls. One is the individual soul, seeking the pleasures and pains of this world, and the other is a super soul. And Prabhupada makes an interesting statement there. He says, the individual soul is liberated when it comes out of the material heart. And then he says, or cleanses the heart to make it spiritualized. So, is liberated when it comes out of the material heart. So in that lecture which I was hearing of Sachinandan Maharaj, says, this means what Prabhupada is saying, that the individual soul must come out of the material heart and enter the realm of the spiritual heart. And says that is where the super soul exists. So there is the realm of the spiritual heart and the realm of the material heart within the same heart, in the same space. So the super soul is sitting in the realm of the spiritual heart, waiting for the individual soul to turn towards him and make the journey from the material heart to the spiritual heart. And then Prabhupada says that journey is achieved, or he says, just to make it a little more understandable and achievable by us, that which is tangible to us, he says, cleansing the heart to make it spiritualized by the process of Shravan Kirtanam Vishnu. So what is that? What is that journey from the material to the spiritual heart? It is simply a matter of consciousness. Just as the material heart takes us on a journey of different levels of consciousness this life and so many lifetimes. Right? Prabhupada says, you know, once he was in Jagannath Puri and he says, I was here as a young boy dancing, you know, running along the beach. Now I want to do the same, but I can't. The body is not allowing it to do that. So that is the material heart. The consciousness is of an old person, predominantly. Desires are there, but the consciousness being exhibited is that I'm an old, infirm person. Whereas the consciousness of the spiritual heart is that I am eternally the servant of Krishna. No other. Sarvapadhi vinirmuktvam. One is free of all other designations. I wanted to come to this later, but I'll make this point. In one lecture, Giriraj Maharaj was mentioning that what is it, this consciousness of the heart, especially in the spiritual realm, how devotees, because we understand material heart, there is lust, there is pride, this, that, lamentation and distress, so many things. What is spiritual heart? What is the consciousness of the spiritual heart? He says that once Krishna in Dwarka, he told Garuda, his devotee and carrier, that please go and contact Hanuman and tell him I'm calling you. Now by this time, Hanumanji had spent a lot of time from Treta Yuga to Dwapar Yuga. So when Garuda approached him, Hanumanji was in meditation on Lord Ram. He welcomed Garuda Dev, and then when Garuda Dev put the proposal, he said, oh, the Lord is calling me. I'm so fortunate. But what can I do? I become so old and infirm now. How will I ever go to Dwarka? I can hardly walk. I can hardly fly. So Garuda carried this message back to Krishna in Dwarka. He said, Hanumanji is really feeling very old and infirm. He can't come. He says, oh, he can't? Go and tell him that your Lord Ram is calling you. So Garuda goes back with the message. He says, Lord Ramchandra is calling you to Dwarka. Hanumanji, as soon as he hears the name Ram, he jumps into Dwarka. By the time Garuda even realizes where is Hanuman and wants to come back, Hanumanji is into Dwarka. The consciousness of the spiritual heart, that I am eternally the servant of Krishna. That's on the platform of Bhava. This is something different. Maybe if we get time towards the end of the lecture, we'll cover it in some short amount of time. So the material heart is constantly being ravaged by so many material desires. If we can cleanse it with the process of devotional service, specifically it means devotional service means I'm the servant of Krishna and the servant of Krishna's devotees. That is what is a cleansing process. The cleansing process, if it is done in any other way with any other consciousness, one does not enter the realm of the conscious spiritual heart. That realm, the consciousness, is made up of being the servant, part and parcel of Krishna and Krishna's paraphernalia, Krishna's devotees. So, all activities can be dovetailed based on this consciousness in Krishna's service. And the heart becomes cleansed. Then, this verse is saying, Yada ratir brahmani naishtiki puman. If somehow or the other the living entity can have naishtiki bhakti, naishtiki rati, or unalloyed devotional attraction to Brahmani, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how is that achieved? Acharyavan. And Prabhupada says, by the blessings of the Acharyas and following his instructions, this is possible. In the early days when Prabhupada was still in India and he was a householder, one day he mentioned to one of his godbrothers, I have found out the secret. I have the secret to becoming liberated from all the material pangs and miseries. The chanting of the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Acharyavan, somehow the Acharya seems to know and make it possible for all conditioned souls to develop naishtiki rati or uncontaminated attraction to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And an example is used. What is the result of that? Dahatya avirevan ridayam jiva kosham. The bindings of the living entities in the form of the five elements or the five types of coverings. So the five elements are earth, water, fire, air, ether, that is a gross body, and the subtle body. One becomes liberated from that. Dahatya. It is burnt to ashes. Or Srila Prabhupada says the five types of coverings. Ignorance, egoism, attachment to material sense gratification, envy, and absorption in material enjoyment. And this is mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Bhajan Rahasya. He mentions there are certain anarthas or unwanted things within the heart, the material heart. They can be classified as four. Those that arise from the past sinful activities. Duskriti Uttha. Duskriti Uttha is avidya, asmita, rag, dvesh, and dura abhinivesh. Avidya is ignorance of one's own self and ignorance of Krishna basically. Asmita is I and mine. Rag is intense attachment to sense gratification. Dvesh, anything that stops sense gratification makes us depressed and we hate it. Therefore, there is desperation in that, there is hatred there, there's feeling of envy, feeling of not being cared for, all those things, if it stops the sense gratification. Dvesh. And finally, durabhinivesh, or absorption in things that are not really favorable in Krishna consciousness. So that is duskruti uttha. Then the second category is known as sukruti uttha. If that were not sufficient, Then there are anarthas that arise from a past pious activities, material enjoyment. Somehow I can remember a lot of shlokas this time, this lifetime, you know, and everyone glorifies me. I don't know how, but it seems nice to me. Sukruti uttha, anartha arising there. Somehow I'm capable of being a good leader. Somehow I'm capable of being a good kirtani. Dadanath Swami Maharaj sometimes says, sometimes devotee feels that somehow I'm capable of even cutting potatoes according to perfect size. Sukruti uttha, maybe we were great chefs in the previous lifetime, who knows? But sukruti uttha. Then anarthas that arise from aparad or offenses. Offenses are, we know, yes, Vaishnava aparad is there. Aparad to the service of the deity, the form of Krishna, seva aparad is there. There is nama aparad, chanting of the holy names. There is jiva aparad, hinsa to the other living entities. In fact, this jiva hinsa has been classified as one of the six upashakhas that grow as weeds when the bhakti lata, when the creeper of devotional service is growing in the heart. And finally, what is the fourth one? Anyone remembers? Sukriti, Dukriti, Duskriti, Aparat. Yes, thank you. Bhakti Uttha. Those that arise from the practice of devotional service, like Pratishtha, Puja, Lab, Pride, and adoration, desire for all of that, adulation. So, these are all, these five coverings, Srila Prabhupada in that purport says, are burnt away by following the instructions of the Acharya. And then he says, just as Kumara is giving an example, Ivothita Agni, just as fire, how is it produced? It is produced from wood. If there is no wood, there is no fire. So fire is produced from wood, but as soon as the fire is produced, it burns the wood itself. The same fire which is produced of the wood burns the wood itself. Similarly, the practice of devotional service arises seemingly from the material heart. But because it is based on the consciousness of that I am Krishna's eternal servant and devotional service is my eternal activity, it burns away all the coverings of the heart, the five coverings of the heart. It burns away that. And Prabhupada uses the example in the purport that just as fire has got two qualities of heat and light, similarly, one whose heart has been dissolved of all these five coverings will have two qualities, jnana and virag. Knowledge, which is just the opposite of avidya, asmita, raga, dvesh. The opposite of that is just jnana and virag, or detachment. Detachment from all of these connections. You know, sometimes in devotional service practice as sadhana bhaktas, we may feel that so many things I have left. So there is attachment to the things that we have left. We can calculate, this was what I was doing, this was what I was doing, this I could have, this I could have. And we have given up all of that. And that becomes an attachment. Just like those two sannyasis crossing the river and the woman on one side not able to cross. So one sannyasi picks her on her shoulder, takes her across. After a couple of hours and drops her off the other side, then they go alone, they're very quiet. After a couple of hours of quietness, the other sannyasi says, why did you touch a woman and carry her across the river? He said, oh, I carried her just across the river. You carried her even beyond that in your mind. So attachment to the things that we have given up requires virag or detachment. In other words, what have we to give up? Did we ever possess anything? Once Srila Prabhupada mentioned this to one of his devotees. What do you have to give up? The only thing that you have to give up is the idea that I can give up. So, jnana and virag. These are the two symptoms of someone whose heart has been completely, the five coverings have been burnt to ashes. However, sorry,
Bhakti Vinod Thakur says in Bhajan Rahasya, first in Harinam Chintamani, that there is an impediment to a practitioner's developing Jnana and Virag. And that impediment is, those impediments somehow or the other, such impediments, you know, they have very small words to notify who they are. And so impediments that can stop one from progressing or cleansing the heart are simply called, in a short word, as anartha. That's it. Just anarthas, you know. Like sometimes when we talk in the devotional lingo, devotional languages, just anartha nivritti stage, then we are through, you know. It's as if you go to the shop and, you know, oh yeah, I have 5 rupees. I can easily buy this. It's okay. What if the product is worth $1 million? Would it be so easy to buy? So it's not so easy to. And therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in great detail. And there, he describes four other types of anarthas. He says these anarthas are tattva, brahma anartha, swarupa brahma anartha. Then second is asat trishna. Third is aparad. And fourth is hriday dorbalyam. Each one of them has further divided into four. So that makes it 16. Tattva vibhrama, first is swatattva vibhrama, who am I? Second is paratattva vibhrama, who is Krishna? Third is sadhya sadhan tattva vibhrama. What is the means to achieve the goal, and what is exactly the goal? So, misconceptions about sadhana bhakti itself, and misconceptions about prem bhakti itself. And fourthly, there is virodhi vishay brahma, or sometimes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu Chakravarti Thakur says maya tattva brahma. Having misconceptions about unfavorable things in Krishna consciousness, this will also do maybe like that. So these are the anarthas that come against tattva brahma. Then asat trishna is desire for enjoyment in this world, desire for enjoyment in this heavenly planets. Now sometimes when we read, oh, rivers of mango juice, wow. Now if one is a Vaishya, then only thinks, I can make so much money. Just put up a plant, because they put up plants on river banks, right? Or others can think, how much we can eat, how much we can drink. Then mystic siddhis, sometimes we really hope, you know, sometimes preachers in their mind, they come, if I had some of those mystic siddhis, I could just show people. An attraction for mystic siddhis, reading their minds and thus convincing them. Or finally, mukti or liberation. This is all asat trishna, desire for temporary enjoyment. And aparad, we already described the four kinds of aparad. And hriday dourbalyam. Hriday dourbalyam are four kinds, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. First is tuchha sakti, attachment to things that really do not give us significant happiness. Radha Gopinath Prabhu talks about those two people traveling in a local train. My seat, my seat, my seat, my seat. Then one fellow has to get down at Bandra. The train is going to Borivali. So he gets down. The other person has to go ahead till Malad. But because he's so much fighting with this person for the seat, he also gets down with him, and they continue fighting on the platform. The train is gone. The seat is gone. The train is gone. Tuchha sakti. Attachment to things that do not really give significant happiness. That is hriday dourbalyam. Aapne bola kaise ki meri seat nahi? How dare you say that? But seat is gone. Train is gone. Tuchha sakti. Kutinati. Kutinati means duplicity, finding faults. Third is matsarya or envy. And fourth is swapratishtha lalasa. Always wondering, when will someone praise me? How do we ever understand devotees like Madhavendra Puri, who in the dead of the night want to leave, you know, the what is that? Gopinath's temple, and go away. What is this person made up of? I mean, is he really made up of earth, water, fire, air, ether only, or what? I mean, there will be some speculators like us, like me, who will think, Maybe he must have desired that someone must have noted him going and call him back, you know. Come back, Prabhu, come back. Where are you going? You are such a great devotee. 10 times looking back. Is someone looking, wondering where I am? How does he do it? Yes. So pratishtha abhilasha or lalasa. And this is what gives rise to so many obstacles in devotional service. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, because of this, one is not fixed in devotional service. It sometimes goes up, sometimes goes down. Sometimes it is in sunshine, sometimes it is under severe cold. You know, just like when the body is really, the jataragni is very good, then it shows on the face. Very nice, happy, excited. When the jataragni is down, like severe cold, it shows on the face. You're down. Sometimes devotional service, jataragni is not really up. It shows up and down. So then he defines 6 stages, my God. And we thought it was so easy. Yes. He says, utsamahi ghad tarala viud vikalpa vishay sangar. Yes, nimakshama. And finally, tarangarangini. Just to describe 2 of them, not all. Like vishay sangar. Devotee says, I'm going to give this up. Too much sense gratification in my life. I have to give up sense gratification. And finally, the devotee, the practicing devotee, lands up doing the same sense gratification. I fasted the entire day too much. I've stored everything from yesterday today. I've seen those devotees, they're saying, today, kya banaya wo halwa? You know, they made such nice halwa out of worry, not worry, the other thing. And we say, okay, please keep some for me. Tomorrow I'll take. Today I'm fasting nirjal. So our fasting practically leads to the same sense gratification. And then we say, what was the use of my doing? My entire consciousness is not good. So in this way, there's a constant struggle against sense enjoyment. That is vishaya sangar. give up. And from this side, keep. This side is going and this side is, what? Maybe for tomorrow I need, let me keep. So that happens because of the anarthas. And the second one is nimakshana. We say, oh, tomorrow onwards, I'll sit in the morning one place and do my rounds straight like that. Tomorrow morning turns out to be the temperature is not 30 degrees Celsius, it is 15 degrees Celsius. And I said, today it's too cold. Maybe day after tomorrow I'll try again. When the temperature comes to 30 degrees Celsius, then I'll do it. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains the subtle difference between the two. He says, Vishaya Sangar does not allow us to give up sense enjoyment. And Niyamakshana does not allow one to improve one's devotional practice. Where is one left? One cannot give up sense gratification and one cannot improve one's devotional service. What to speak of the other 4 which I am not mentioning? So in great details this has been explained. Yes? However, the silver lining in this dark cloud is Prabhupada's statement. One cannot expect to undergo tapasya to get Krishna as one's child. Yet simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can become so pure that one becomes free from all the contamination of this material world and goes back home, back to Godhead. The word here is simply chanting Hare Krishna. Now if we can give up all other mental speculation that arises because of the anarthas, especially vishaya sangar, lot of speculation, there's viud vikalpa, extensive speculation, ye karu kya, kal se karu kya, wo kar rahe to main bhi karu kya. I mean, there's so much karu kya, should I do, so much viud vikalpa. You know, everyone is doing parikrama, should I also do it? After I do parikrama, why did I do it? My legs are paining. Tomorrow I'm not going to do it. Tomorrow everyone gets up and goes, everyone is going, maybe I should also go. Doesn't look nice. I go. Again I come back. Why did I do? Following others. Finally at the end of the parikrama, you know, 5-6 days, I'm glad it's over. So much speculation. But simply by chanting Hare Krishna. That is what, when all the sannyasis, they asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why, you know, Varanasi, you are sannyasi, you are a disciple of Keshav Bharati, you are from Shankara Sampradaya. No. Why are you engaging in dancing, chanting? And all with this fanatic people. Why are you doing that? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives such a wonderful answer. He says, Prabhu kahe suno Shripad, ihara karan. My dear great sir, please listen to the reason why I am doing this. Guru more murkh dekhi korila shasham. Acharyavan, gyan, virag, ranghasa. The spiritual master saw me as unfit to do anything else. Now sometimes it's easy to say, I am stupid, I am foolish. But it's so difficult to accept that I am unfit for anything. Yes. Because we feel we are fit enough to be foolish enough to be accepted. So Guru More Murkha Dekhila means my spiritual master saw me as being unfit for any other process and he said, Korila Shashan, he gave me this strict instruction. Murkha tumi tomar nahika vedanta adhikar. Krishna mantra japa sada e mantra sar. Simply chant Hare Krishna. It is the essence of all scriptures. And after that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes the glories of the holy names, ending with Hare Nam, Hare Nam. And then he says, since the time I started chanting, I became mad and bewildered. So I sat down in a quiet place in solitude and started speculating or started analyzing. Since I started chanting Hare Krishna, I have become bewildered. My intelligence has been covered. What is this? Maybe this is not right. So I went to my spiritual master and put forth my confusion. Kiba mantra dila gosai, kiba tara bal, japita japita, mantra korila pagal. Now, who would do this? I mean, many times we can go to our superiors and our spiritual master and say, thank you for giving this service. It has very much inspired me. But whoever says that, thank you for giving the service, it has made me mad in ecstasy of love of God. Japita japita mantra korila pagal. And he's saying, I'm not very happy saying that I've become mad in ecstasy. He's saying, is it okay? I'm not confused. I don't think so. It's okay. How does it happen? None of the processes work like this. And his spiritual master laughs and says, oh, so you've achieved this Krishna prem. I'm very pleased with you and I'm very much obliged to you. So that Acharyavan, that Shashan, simply does not mean only a stick in the hand, but the spiritual master feels obliged and happy when one achieves the sadhya, the proper sadhya. There is no Brahma, there is no more anartha. And then he says, my spiritual master says, this is good. So now you dance, you chant, you go along and you spread the message of Krishna to others and make them chant and dance. And therefore, this is all that I am doing. So they asked him, but what about Vedanta? Why don't you discuss something on it? He says, okay. So he sat down with them and discussed. And discussion was so deep that finally they got convinced. My God, you are whatever you are being a devotee is the best thing. Please make us devotees also. So Vedanta discussion came later on. That gyan is not the real gyan. The real gyan is Krishna mantra japa sada ei mantra sar. And the real viraga is hasati, rodati, rauti, gayati, unmadavan, nrityati, loka bahaya. Why? So priya nama kirtya jata anurago. Because now, what can we do? The heart has become attracted to one's priya. One's dear Lord. So then, virag, I don't care what anyone thinks about me. I simply chant, dance, I cry, I become stunned in ecstasy. And that is bhava. And that is what he said. Ishwarapuri Maharaj, he told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is a mantra swabhav. The swabhav of Krishna Mahamantra is upajaya bhav. It brings about bhava. It brings us out, and bhava means anartha nivritti stage. There is nishtha. Nishtha means the stage where one has laulyam or greed for service unto Krishna in a particular way. It doesn't come before that. It doesn't come before that. Before that, there has to be shraddha or faith.
Sadhana bhakti means shraddha or faith. I will do this, I will achieve perfection. We have that shraddha. But once anartha nivritti is passed, then there is an awakening of bhava. Or there is rati, asakti, and then bhava. And bhava means we are attracted to Krishna, just like the residents of Vrindavan. That's the supreme example. Those who are attracted to Krishna in Vatsalya, they are focused on Krishna's balya leela. Those who are attracted to Krishna in Sakya, there is Pauganda leela for them. Those who have Madhurya, there is Kaishorya leela for them. This is Krishna and it's different. There's such a mystery in Krishna, such an understanding in Krishna. And that bhava is being expressed by Devaki here. She is feeling fear. Both, there are two people in Mathura, or rather three, but we'll take just two. Kansa is also fearful. Devaki is also fearful. Kansa is fearful of himself. Devaki is fearful for Krishna. And therefore, that bhava of Devaki is called as Sanchari bhava. It is that which excites her motherly affection for Krishna, increases her motherly affection for Krishna. Oh Krishna, please protect yourself. Otherwise, Kansa will come and kill you. So she has more motherly affection for Krishna. So that is another topic of bhava. So anyways, this is today's discussion. Krishna remembers, Krishna never forgets. Whatever devotional credits we have, and he will reciprocate. He'll give us the credits too. What is the reciprocation in the how do we understand the reciprocation? The journey from the material heart to the spiritual heart becomes easy. It takes place. And how does it happen? The anarthas are nullified. Which anarthas? Four types, as explained by in Harinam Chintamani. And how are these four anarthas nullified? Anarthas because of Hriday Dorbalyam, because of weakness of heart, anarthas because of Asat Trishna, attraction to material enjoyment, which each of them are four types. Anarthas because of Aparad. And the fourth one is anarthas because of where did it go? Sorry, I have to just refer. Tattva Brahma. Or what is the absolute truth? Those anarthas, when they are nullified, then one is beyond anishtita bhakti, one comes to sthai bhakti, where there is sthai bhav, and this sthai bhav is nourished by other elements. Just as when our Gauranga Prabhu and the team, you know, Radha Vallabha Prabhu, there is one preparation that is regular, and then there is condiments that are added to it. So there is sthai bhav that is developed, a particular affection for Krishna, and then condiments in the form of Anubhava, Sanchari Bhava, and so on and so forth are added. So this is the deep mystery of Krishna consciousness. This is the excitement of Krishna consciousness. And this is being revealed in the Srimad Bhagavatam simply through the statement of Devaki when she feels fearful for Krishna and Krishna reciprocating. You ask for a benediction from me, this is what I will give. And how is it achieved? Simply chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Ay Mantra Sar. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. So thank you very much. I'm sorry we cannot take comments or questions. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.